Hello, and welcome to the Blog You Want and the Time You Have podcast, the show that empowers you to stop making excuses to not blog and realize the potential of content marketing. I'm your host, Scott Winteroth, co-founder of ContentAcademy.com. I invite you to join me each episode for actionable strategies for elevating your blog to the next level and hear from other content rock stars who will share with you exactly what keeps them on task so you can stop wishing for success and start living to your fullest potential. Ready? 3, 2, 1, publish. Welcome, everyone. I am here today with one of my favorite blogging friends, someone who I've known for several years now. And ultimately, like I said before, if I think of blogging rock star, Maddie Osmond comes to name. And Maddie has been blogging in various capacities over the last several years. And I know she is a content writer and a contributor to the blog sphere, if you will. So that being said, Maddie, welcome to the Blog You Want and the Time You Have podcast. And yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell the world who you are and what you're up to these days.
Well, thanks for the glowing words, Scott. As far as what I'm up to today, you and I met in Chicago, obviously, but now I'm out here in Denver celebrating my first year in the West. And you know, as far as kind of where I'm at with blogging, the blog that you and I kind of met over, I guess, which was at the time called Chicago Cheap Ass, is now called Urban Cheap Ass, to kind of reflect that move that I made. Though, as we were discussing before, it's just not something I've been keeping up with. What's more kind of front of mind in current projects for me with blogging, at least on a personal note, is I've started a new website that's called tanksthatgetaround.com, and they're all tank tops with kind of like funny travel related puns and sayings and things like that. And so I've been building out the blog content on that website, you know, partially because I just want something kind of like fun and the same voice of, you know, some of these like product descriptions and some of the different, you know, funny slogans mm-hmm. we have. But also ultimately to provide SEO content to drive people there, hopefully from search. So
yeah,
it's part business, part fun, all project.
Now
this is what happens with it.
That's an interesting story, because obviously you were doing your blogging and you're creating great content for your cheap ass series, if you will, your Chicago site, and then your urban site when you moved, which I think was an interesting rebrand and makes a lot of sense. I also had a Chicago blog at one time, and then I know I was thinking about rebranding it to an overall site. I ended up not doing that, but ultimately I understand the process behind that. Now, what's interesting that I thought is that during your cheap ass days, you had a goal of creating that was probably your main product was your content, if you will, right? That was your product. Now, I think what's interesting, you talked about building a new site that is, and essentially you're selling t-shirts, right? That's your core product, right? So that's one way that you'll sort of monetize your blogging efforts, and then you're using the blog for that as your content marketing engine to drive people to the site, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so e-commerce, you know, it's definitely like a totally different side of marketing than what I'm really used to. So a lot of it's experimenting, but, you know, it kind of actually, this idea of experimenting brings me back to those cheap ass days, because the reason that I started that Chicago cheap ass blog was really for me to prove a concept to myself that, you know, I could be successful in online marketing. And at the time I was stuck in a sales job that I didn't dislike, but I knew I wasn't meant to be a salesperson. So, you know, at that time, Chicago Cheap Ass to me was both creative outlet and a chance to just experiment with different online marketing techniques, social media, SEO, email marketing, all of the above. But now, you know, this new project, it's a whole new kind of universe for me. And so in many ways, it kind of brings me back to those days, because again, I'm at this point where I'm not 100% sure what to do, but I'm excited to kind of test out the different possibilities.
You're on the front line, which I think is so important. And it's really interesting. It kind of makes me smile a lot of ways, because I think a lot of people come to you and they come to me in various capacities over the years and say, oh, how do I get started blogging? Yeah. And I think it's hard to say to them, but the answer really is you have to just start, you know? Yep. And it may not, like, your first, you know, whatever, 500, 200,000 posts might mm-hmm. not necessarily have a lot of direction per se. But I think that you can attest to this and myself is that just the going through the process and going through the motions was extremely valuable in the long run, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, when I first got started, and I think this is a story of many bloggers, I think I wanted to have like 3 or 5, you know, posts ready to go so that I could give people something when mm-hmm. they landed on that site. And of course, you know, I'm excited. I want to share with people. But, you know, my blog, it was like ugly as hell, you know, it needed a lot of help. But people were really excited about the content, you know, even more so than I had expected. Mm. So I think that there's a lesson there. And it's that, like you say, just start and like the rest of the pieces will fall into place. And even if the stuff you blog about now is different than what you might have been blogging about a year ago, it's all just part of the process.
Right, right. You know, that's an interesting topic in terms of process. You know, obviously, you had a content strategy or a potential ideal or typical audience for your cheap ass sites, if you will, and now you're venturing out and doing a new sort of product, which I'm assuming you have an audience that you've identified. If not, you know, that's I know we haven't talked about that, but ultimately, what does the content planning process look for you when it comes to blogging on, you know, either your past sites or your current mm-hmm. sites? I mean, how do you come up with ideas or you know, how do you feel like what's going to give you the most bang for your buck in terms of taking the time to write and to look at generating content?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a complicated question. So I'll try to answer it with some specific examples that maybe don't tell the whole story, but
yeah.
You know, top of mind. Okay, so specifically with Tanks That Get Around, and for any piece of content that you write, you always have to be thinking about the audience and what they would want to read, not just what you would want to write.
Mm-hmm.
So I try for that site to create content, first of all, that acts as guides to like different destinations, travel destinations. And then connecting that with the product, which would be a shirt, you know, that relates to that destination in some way, linking to that. But giving people kind of like an itinerary of what they could do in that place and, you know, just suggestions to kind of get those ideas going in their brain. You know, if they're travelers, they're always thinking about, you know, what's my next destination? What would I want to do there? So, you know, part of the content I create is just me trying to help close the gaps on those thoughts and just give them ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Other content is about sort of strategy behind travel. So like, as you and many others know, you know, I had my cheap ass days. I would argue that I'm still in those days. Something that'll probably never leave me. And so one of those things that I like to be very strategic about is, you know, finding the best priced flights, you know, finding ways to keep my costs down while traveling. So a lot of the content on that blog reflects that, you know, it's reviews of different apps or services that you could use that I've used and love, you know, to achieve those ends. And then other stuff is more like, you know, what are people... not only like what do people want to read, but what are they searching for? And hopefully those things are the same thing, but you know, adding that sort of data backed aspect of what I'm writing and researching keywords and, you know, making sure that I'm able to rank for them and things like that and creating content that addresses that. So it's like, some of this is like evergreen content, you know, that could live on no matter what time of year. And then like another thing that I'm working on, and we'll see if I actually finish it on time, is like having a holiday gift guide, because stuff like that is like, you know, SEO gold. People love that stuff, especially this time of year. Of course, it takes time to rank, so we'll see if I pull it together. But even if I don't, you know, maybe that's a good content asset to have for next year.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because I wrote a blog post, I think like in 2013 or something like that, several years ago, about tips for planning holiday newsletters. And I published it in like in August of that year. And I still, even it's as no, it's November, the beginning of November of 2017, and I'm still getting traffic to that blog post I wrote years ago, and I'm planning a holiday newsletter. So it's not a lot. I mean, it's not like, you know, driving it home, if you know what I mean. But ultimately, yeah, it's still, even though it's seasonal, it's still has opportunity for future, you know, so
yeah, it's the gift that keeps giving.
that's definitely the way to look at it, right?
Yeah. In the spirit of the holidays.
exactly.
Yeah. One other thing I was going to mention too, when it comes to idea generation, and I don't know if I've yet identified an exact competitor for kind of what I'm doing, but looking at what the competitors are doing, or, you know, people who are similar in your space, it could even be, you know, just like industry media outlets and things like that is always a great way to kind of spark the idea of what content there could be. Mm-hmm. But then, a final thought is seeing what kind of questions people are asking. And a lot of times you can do that with your keyword research, but even before you start that, going to a place like Quora or going to like industry forums. It's something that I've always talked about, but never necessarily did. But then I recently have kind of like given it the full try. And honestly, that's where a lot of ideas for me recently have come from, like for client sites and, you know, other blogs that I'm working on specifically.
Mm-hmm. Solid. Yeah, that's definitely good information. Thanks for sharing that. Sure. And that in time, you sort of mentioned time and research and that kind of stuff. And that's actually one thing I thought would be kind of interesting to share, if you can quantify it a little bit. But I know you're a busy gal. I mean, you're like me. I know that. Well, not that I'm a gal. Just kidding. But ultimately, I know you've got a lot of things going on at once, and you try to you keep yourself busy between balancing your blogging, entrepreneurial assets, if you will, and then also managing content creation and writing and doing strategy for clients.
Right.
And obviously, there's a little bit of a different sort of approach to creating content for yourself or for your own endeavors versus creating stuff for clients, which right. I think the clients is probably easier. They're giving you a little bit of a strategy in sense of identifying content. It's a little easier because they're saying, hey, this is what we do. This is what we need to do. There's still research involved and so on and so forth. But in terms of creating content, you have a busy schedule. I assume your daily routines are filled with a bunch of hot pressing things you have to do every day, like most people. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of look at blogging and do you have a particular method or strategy for really focusing on writing content, like when you do it, how you do it, or anything like that in terms of scheduling it into your daily sure. routine? Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, for one, I'll definitely agree with you that sometimes having structure in terms of client direction and things like that can definitely be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like art, you know, sometimes if you're just like looking at a blank canvas, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to draw? But if you've got a commissioned piece, you know, you at least have kind of the different elements that you know mm-hmm. need to go there, and you can kind of go off of that. In terms of actually creating a process, one way to make it manageable so that it's not, you know, all at once, overwhelming, especially if you're just starting with it, first of all, you know, and like that example I just gave, never have a blank page before you actually go in and, you know, sit down and write that draft. You should already have an idea to work off of. In my process, you should already have an outline to work off of, unless, you know, it's like an opinion piece or something like that, where, you know, you can just kind of rattle it off as you go on. But mm-hmm. if it's something for, say, one of my B2B clients, you know, where I need to support what I'm saying with statistics, you know, maybe like image examples, things like that, these are all things that I want to already have on paper in an outline before I draft. So what I like to do to split it all up is do one day for research and outlining, and then ideally have the next day to actually write the draft. And when I write the draft, I'm not going for perfection. I'm really just weaving those pieces together in the outline so that it's more of like, you know, it has a shape. It looks like an article.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last day would be an edits day. And so I just go back in with a fresh perspective and then read it, you know, first just read it all the way through so I know what I'm working with. Mm-hmm. Then, and maybe the first time I'm reading it through, I read it out loud, because when you read something out loud, you oftentimes will catch a lot of really awkward things that your mind might skip if you, you know, just read it quietly or mm-hmm. silently. And then, you know, read it for spelling and grammar, and edits can actually take up the bulk of my time, because most of the time I'm also adding in, you know, whatever, like SEO on page factors, making sure all the keywords were used, you know, as many times as I need them to be used in that piece, doing internal linking, you know, fleshing out the content if there's anything that, I don't know, like a question that went unanswered and things like that. So, you know, put simply, it's a 3-step process: outline slash research, you know, quick run through of the first draft, and then edit for all these different things.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a pretty extensive process. Now, question I have for you: mm-hmm. what do you think is a ideal post for you in terms of length? I know that obviously over the years it was like everyone's writing a 300-word post, and then everyone's right. like, "Oh no, we long form content." Mm-hmm. Have you? I mean, I know you're doing this a lot for all kinds of clients and agencies, mm-hmm. and for yourself. Have you sort of like said, right now, this is what I'm committing to? Or maybe you don't. Maybe you just kind of keep it open. Is there, do you have any thoughts on length or type of content for your posts?
Yeah, I would say for people to actually get results from the content that I write for them from a business perspective, or for the stuff that I write for myself, mm-hmm. With that perspective in mind, it's like, I really don't want to see a blog that's less than 1,000 words, unless, you know, mm-hmm. unless that's all they're paying for, then, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, right. Understood.
And I try to make it the best, you know, 750, 500 word post that I can. But at the end of the day, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I hope you don't expect this to achieve great SEO benefits for you. This is more of a news piece where... Right. If you have a good existing network, then this is some great content to feed them, you know, whether it's a how-to or whether it's an update about the company or, you know, whatever it is. But if you want it to achieve SEO-specific results, I mean, the bare minimum, just based on kind of how different lengths of content are ranking on Google, is 1,000 words. And you know, Google's getting smarter, and it's finding ways to make sense of shorter content too. But I think that part of the algorithm is still developing. I mean, the other part of it is, and this is like Google aside, mm-hmm. How deeply can you really get into a topic in 500 words?
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, if it's like a listicle, it's like, okay, you know, maybe we're not really going for depth here. We're more about presenting some options for people to look further into themselves. But if it's like a how-to, if it's like, you know, critical analysis of a certain part of an industry, you really need that minimum. And I would say my ideal is more like 1,500 words.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a pretty lengthy post, really. I mean, it takes a little bit to kind of create that type of post. Plus, I think at some point too, if you're going to support a post like that, you're going to need quite a bit of imagery, or you'll need some type of supporting imagery. Absolutely. And that kind of stuff too, to get through it. So,
right. You got to break it up.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but obviously, I'm sure you can attest to the results are great if you put the time to do it. Right.
Right.
And that's even definitely,
if people, you know, not everyone's going to read it through all the way, and you shouldn't expect that, but you know, if you make a post, like you say, with, you know, good examples, good screenshots, video if necessary, whatever, you know, if you break it up with that, if you have kind of skimmable subheadings, bullet points, if you make it something readable, you'll keep people's attention longer than you would think you would. And then even if they don't read the whole thing, you know, maybe they're just looking for certain sections. And if you can help them with just that section, I think the content has still achieved its purpose.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Now, and that's kind of interesting too. I mean, you're definitely a writer for hire, if you will. So is there something that maybe if somebody who's looking to outsource parts of their blog or content, is there something that maybe you can give them a tip on terms of how they can best work with someone like you for getting something going?
I mean, you definitely want to have some sort of process in place. One thing I've been hearing from a lot of my freelance writing colleagues is that, you know, a lot of people will hire them for a blog post or two, and then through no fault of their own, you know, the communication breaks down, or, you know, the person decides that they're going to cut back on content or whatever. And it's that inconsistency that causes a problem from a content marketing standpoint. It's like, if you're not ready to try it for an extended period of time, say 3-6 months, something like that, then don't even bother starting, because you know, it's just going to be wasted time, money, effort. So my suggestion would be for people that are looking to work with a content writer on a freelance basis is, you know, give them a fair shot at actually improving your content marketing efforts. You know, don't just do a one-off post, do like a monthly couple posts, you know, for an extended period of time, so you can accurately judge the results of what you're doing and seeing if it's actually making a difference. I mean, SEO doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen in a week or even a month. In most cases, it takes time. So, and then even just if you have an amazing existing audience, if you just randomly decide to, you know, start a blog or something, like, it's going to take time for them to get used to that too, and to defer to you as a resource, and to, you know, open the related emails and click through and read it. And so I guess, you know, my main thing is just like, give it the time it deserves to do it right. And also that time also, it allows the freelance writer to get to know you better.
Right. Yeah. I think that's solid advice. People should definitely think about that before they start any type of content marketing. I know I get a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I've written like two posts that are 200 words. And they're like, blogging doesn't do shit. Well, you know, that's not going to work. I just realized
In that scenario.
Yeah. So lots of really great advice. And obviously, I personally think you've been killing it for a long time. And I really appreciate you hopping on the show with me.
Well, thanks,
I just have a few more wrap up questions, but a couple things. One, you're a WordPress person. I know you've been using WordPress primarily for your platforms. Is that true? I know. Is that still sort of your platform of choice in terms of building blogs and stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I started using WordPress back in my college days. So my boss was really obsessed with Silverstripe, which is it's like an Australian CMS or something. I don't know. And it was fine for our client needs, but we were experimenting with other things, and one of them was WordPress. And since then, I've never turned back.
Great. Yeah. No, I think that it's a pretty solid platform. And that's really what you started with, too. I mean, you've always been using WordPress for your stuff in terms of building your blogs.
Yeah, all of my own online web properties from that point on have always been WordPress.
If you had like a final sort of, if it's a new blogger or someone who's maybe trying to rekindle their content marketing efforts, do you have any particular advice or maybe a tool or a book or something that someone should read? It's sort of like a closing gift to the audience, if you will.
Yeah, I guess as far as advice, I would say before you put the pen to paper, you know, finger on the keypad, whatever it may be, and you're either rekindling efforts or starting a new blog, make sure to plan out a couple posts. And like I said, with my process, like, don't even start writing that draft until you've got an outline in place. So have a couple topics ready to go. Give yourself due dates and don't miss them. You know, treat yourself like you would a client, like I would treat one of my content marketing clients, with deadlines. And yeah, so basically always have something ready to write when you have the time to write, you know, the time that you've put in your schedule to write. Create a process around it. And as far as tools, Trello. Use Trello to organize all your topics so that you never lose a good idea. And
I
then
love
you
Trello.
Can also use it as an editorial calendar of sorts, you know, show ideas versus editing versus published and so on.
Yeah, no, definitely a great platform.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that some people can actually find some of your content on contentacademy.com, which is great. Mm-hmm. Still out there. It's on the blog. You were fantastic in helping me get that going a couple years ago. It's probably almost a couple years ago now.
Yeah.
But let's tell people how they can find more about you. I know you've got a couple websites. Feel free to give a shout out on the best places to get in touch with you.
Sure. As far as my portfolio for working with clients and just my business in general, the-blogsmith.com is the best place for that. If you want to check out this new e-commerce site I'm working on, it's called tanksthatgetaround.com. And then my most responsive social platform is Twitter. So at Maddie Osmond there.
Great. And we'll definitely hit those up in the show notes too. So everyone can just hit the button and connect with Maddie. So mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope to see a lot more of your content in the near future. So thanks, Maddie.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm so excited that you're on this journey with me, and I look forward to rocking out 2018 to make it the most creative year ever. Do you have ideas on how you can creatively hack your routines or reprogram your way of thinking? Please share them with me by heading over to my site, thebloguywant.com, or tweeting me at swinteroth with the hashtag blogwin. If you have questions or feedback, or just an awesome win, big or small, to share, I'll mention it on the show or bring you on to talk about your success. Be sure to use the hashtag blogwin because it makes me feel good and I appreciate that. If you're liking what you're hearing, be sure to leave a review or tell your friend and head on over to thebloguywant.com to sign up for new episode alerts and other useful content. Thank you.